you can give someone quality content in the form of an answer, and then you can continue to do that over and over again and take them on a journey throughout your website or like I say, across your YouTube channel. Welcome to the Contenting Business Podcast. To create the business you've always dreamt of, you need the tools, skills, and confidence to get customers who really care about and desire what you offer.
This is the place you'll come to listen to advice and debate on business and marketing, as well as how some of the biggest challenges can be overcome.
Welcome back to the Contenting Business Podcast, and today we're talking about the new wave of SEO.
We're going to really cover how SEO, traditional SEO in terms of keywords, is becoming far less effective.
And we're also going to be playing a game called What Came First, which is by Big Potato Games, and a little bit of a trivia game.
So what is it with these test each game other. Companies? Big Potato Games, Exploding Kitten Games.
All wacky and weird and wonderful
you clearly
names.
Clearly have to be a bit wacky to invent a games company. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So SEO is no longer about the amount of keywords that you use on a page on your site and how that relates to what someone searches for. SEO, old school SEO was a lot more technical, and there's still a little bit of that involved in terms of performance of the website, and we'll touch a little bit on that later. But a lot of SEO in recent years has been about the keywords that a person types into a search engine and then the frequency or spacing in terms of the number and placement of those keywords on a page on your site, whether that be in a blog or an article or just on the homepage of your site. That's now changing. And the reason that it's changing is because search engines and users in general are expecting something better. They're expecting better quality across the board.
Yeah. Do you remember the dark days of SEO where you could say, I remember this quite vividly, this showing my age, when I think Britney Spears was the most searched term in Google at the time, and people would create pages with the word Britney Spears in white on white as an image, and there'd be Britney Spears, because they thought that was a hack. Hacks don't work anymore.
Yeah.
The platforms, I'm sure they're applying AI into their platforms as well in terms of how Google work, but they will be quality content wins now. Yeah. You can't hack the system by putting the right keywords, what you think the right keywords are, on the right page in the right frequency. Right. That just doesn't work anymore.
Well, you know what? People started to think that those hacks didn't exist anymore. But actually, what has been existing is still hacks in a way. Instead of putting Britney Spears over and over again in the footer or the bottom of the page, white on white, hidden away like that, search engines clocked on and they started to push pages down that did that. So people said, oh, I guess we've got to actually write these content. But they've effectively done the same thing, is that they will say, you know, here is an article about Britney Spears. Britney Spears does this, and Britney Spears is this age, and Britney Spears is, and it's just Britney Spears over and over and over again. And then even when the search engine says, okay, you're still doing the same thing, you're just saying Britney Spears load across your page, there started to be like a sweet spot.
Yeah.
So this, again, the hack's still going on, but this sweet spot of people going, okay, well, it's got to be, 70% of the page has got to have the keywords on or something like that. Still hacks of a sort. And what it means is that you might have great content and you're using the keyword frequency rule. And then there's another website or a competitor or whatever that's got poor content and they just using the same tactics as you. So how do you stand out from the poor website when you know that your content is better?
Yeah. And it all will come down to, have you answered the question that the person searching on the likes of Google was looking for? If you do that, you win. And we're going to obviously give some advice on what that sort of content should be.
So Google have recently released their helpful content update. And what that does is it's AI powered, and it actually, rather than going to a site and having a look if the content, if the keyword appears enough times to think that it's relevant to what the person searched for, it will just actually go to the site now and read the content. And so your site will get shown in a search results page if the content on it actually answers the question, not just does it seem like the words you're using are related to that question, so maybe it does answer it, but actually does it. And this is where we talk about the developments of AI, understanding a little bit more, being able to read and digest information a bit more. That's how they're using it now. So Google will go and it will look and actually does it answer the question? And if it answers the question, then regardless of the number of keywords or refinement or layout of page or anything, and again, like I say, there's nuts and bolts that you should be doing on your website, should be digestible, should be able to perform, but does the content answer the question? And that is what is going to make a difference as we go forward in SEO.
So do you think that the change in the specificness of answering the question is linked to the way we engage with our devices? So we physically ask the likes of Siri and Alexa, you ask the question, you know, traditionally in Google, you might write lawnmowers when you wanted information about lawnmowers. Whereas today we, what is the best lawnmower for a small garden? You know, we've really changed the way we communicate with search.
Yeah.
That we ask the question and we expect the answer back. And that's obviously what's driven this need to have your content, the right content, answering that specific question.
Yeah. I've actually had to change the way that I search for something now, because I used to search by keywords. I used to say, change mower blade guide or something like that. That would be my search term. Whereas actually you will get better results now if you say, how do I change the blade on a lawnmower? You know,
you'll get the answer you're looking for.
Yeah.
Ultimately, but from the website and platform that's giving you those answers. I've noticed it, and it's going to be more and more important with with the younger generations. My children wouldn't dream of just typing in the word weather. They'll say, Alexa, what is the weather going to be in Rugby this afternoon? And the website that can tell you that, I've got Alexa in the office.
Kicks off.
Brilliant. Temperature's around 12 degrees. Thank you, Alexa. There you go.
Question answered.
She's still going.
And now we have the wind warning.
Now we have the wind warning. But they're definitely, that's going to be a big shift. And equally, we'll get into it in a moment, but the type of content, people love to absorb their answers as quickly as possible. Mm. But actually the sort of types of content they like to receive those answers from is changing in terms of the likes of video content being the most preferred answer.
Now you're talking about things that are, very one-off questions, like what's the weather or those kind of things, directions or something like that. Where you'll really see a big change where quality will come through is where the answers are more nuanced or more, more episodic maybe, in sections where, I want to learn a skill. I want to learn copywriting techniques, or I want to research a number of different documents for a book or learn a sport or something like that, or guitar or something that isn't just, okay, well, this is how you do it. Like it's not just a quick answer. How do you learn guitar? Okay, well, you've got all different types of guitars, and then you've got the chords that you learn, and then there's how to different styles of playing and how to get going and there's all different levels of answers for different skill sets as well, and for different levels of experience. And so that's where really helpful content will come through, because again, there's so many, we see it when we search something on Google these days, you'll generally get the answer you want. You'll probably need to click on a few different sites to get there. And within those results, you'll get some poor quality sites coming through, or you will have previously. That's going to change. That's going to change. And the when you're looking to play guitar, the best resources for learning guitar will come through. if they've got their content right, if they're presenting it right, if they're actually answering the questions, if they're focusing on the customer rather than, you know, just themselves.
So as per tradition on this podcast now, we're going to make it add an element of fun. I'm going to play this game. So this is a question for you and I, Si. So which came first, lawnmowers or vacuum cleaners?
Lawnmowers or vacuum cleaners?
Surely people have had gardens to cut long before they had carpets to hoover.
Well, because it depends.
Or vacuum, say brand, see, branding.
It depends what form lawnmowers are, because like really old lawnmowers were just rotary blades, weren't they?
That's what I'm thinking.
So
I'm thinking lawnmowers, even the traditional scythe, surely that kind of constitutes a lawnmower.
Yeah, go on then.
Lawnmowers.
Lawnmowers.
Yeah. So it says that Edwin Budding got tired of cutting grass with a scythe, yeah, scythe, and invented the lawnmower in 1830. Wow. The vacuum cleaner cleaned up in 1901.
Wow. So quite a gap from 1830 to 1901. But again, I guess the first vacuum cleaner was probably powered by electricity. Yeah,
I guess so. That should have probably been the clue. Go on.
Or something.
Oh, you do one.
Oh, okay.
This one could be controversial.
Here's one for you. What came first, Adolf Hitler or Albert Einstein?
See, I think this is Adolf Hitler, because I think we are programmed based on Einstein is a thing of the past more so. I'm sure he's not he was around more recently than we realised. I'm going to go for.
Well, I suppose as well, we probably think of when they were famous,
yes,
as opposed to when they were born.
Yeah.
So I think. You think?
Adolf Hitler came first.
Okay.
Controversial.
All right. I'll go with you on it. I'll be led by you. Here we go.
Yep.
Albert Einstein.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, okay. The world's most famous physicist was formed in 1879. Unfortunately for the world, Hitler followed 10 years later in 1889. So only 10 years apart.
Okay.
So in the grand scheme of things, that, you know, it was a title.
I still think, Albert Einstein is someone you associate with, like, ancient history as opposed to current history.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
And I saw him in an advert the other day. I'm not sure what it was for.
Oh, I know what that is. Yeah. Deborah Meaden's in it as well.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho.
I can't remember.
Okay.
But, okay.
Back to the important stuff. Okay, so we've established that people need quality content, but what constitutes quality content and what advice would you give to people in terms of creating that content for their site?
Like we always say in our marketing approach generally, is that you should be focusing on the audience, on the consumer, not on yourself. So many businesses make the mistake of, because they're passionate about their product or service, that they want to tell the world about it. The reason that your customer will buy from you is because you solve their problem. The focus is on them, how your product or service solves their problem. So the content needs to be focused on them. You need to be providing a solution to them. Generally, people aren't going to be searching for, well, there will be questions about you know, what vacuum cleaner has the most suction or something like that. But generally, people are focused on what can solve my problem. And your content saying we've got this much RPM or this much, you know, these many filters or something like that, it just simply isn't going to align with what they're actually searching for.
So we've established, you know, you need to be answering the questions that your customer might be asking. But how do you know those things? And we put a lot of emphasis in terms of listening to the customer, whether that's in the comments section of your social media channels. It could be your customer service. You'll be amazed that in terms of technical support, these people are at the, you know, the hard end of your customers' interactions. If there's a problem and a question that people are struggling with, they will know it first. So certainly it's about listening within your entire organization. If you're unsure potentially what question should I be answering in my specific industry, there's a brilliant resource. We'll put it a link in the notes below, but actually Answer the Public. It's a great place just as a first instance to put in your industry and see what questions people are asking. We did the process recently for a client that was a surveyor, and they were shocked at the kind of questions people are asking about surveyors, not the questions that they were answering on their website currently. So their content strategy changed very quickly from that point, and they made sure they had the right content there answering those said questions.
And of course, you've got your classic Google keyword planner as well, just for those related search terms. And I know I'm saying keywords, but ultimately that will give insights into what people are actually searching for, related terms to the thing you've put in. So again, if you are selling vacuum cleaners, then, or producing vacuum cleaners, then, you know, putting in suction power might reveal something related to that that is a question that people ask. And of course, it's all about answering those questions that people are asking. Okay, next card, I think.
Okay, I'll go with this one. So we have, Siri, or Wally, as I say.
Wally.
I'm guessing that's a reference to the Pixar movie. Yeah. Oh, now we've got Siri on the iPad listening. It's always listening.
That's
okay, so what came first? So I think we're meant to think it's Wally. Again, maybe these games always have to try and trick you, aren't they? I am an Android dinosaur. So you probably had...
Yeah.
You've had Siri available to you much earlier than I would have used it. What do you reckon?
I think Siri.
It's Wally.
Oh, yeah.
It's a waste allocation load lifter, Earth class. Do you know that's what it stood for?
No. What, Wally?
Wally stands for waste allocation load lifter, Earth class. Okay, he doesn't every day. Hit the big screens in 2008. The iPhone started talking back in 2011. So there you go.
That's a long time, isn't it? A little bit of a gap.
It is a bit of a gap.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I'll do one as well then. So this one is what came first, Blockbuster, the old rental.
Oh, I miss Blockbuster. Store. Which I'm age again, but I miss Blockbuster.
Or IMAX movie theaters.
Again, I always think these are trying to trick me. Well, they are, aren't they? Wouldn't be fun if it was obvious. I'm going to go for what came first. I'm thinking IMAX, because I think it's Blockbuster, so I'm going to say IMAX.
Double bluff. I'm going to go with the gut of Blockbuster, yeah.
Okay, go.
Ready?
Yep.
IMAX.
I told you, they're trying to trick you.
Oh, wow. Okay. The Canadian company was founded in, so this is IMAX movie theaters. The Canadian company was founded in 1968. Blockbuster began renting in 1985.
Gosh.
At its height, it had 9,094 Blockbuster stores worldwide. It now has one.
Oh, sad. Sad times.
Oh, well.
Okay.
So, time goes on.
Yeah.
It doesn't end at just getting people to your site either and answering that question. If you've got somebody to your site, and especially in some of those bigger questions like, say, learning to play guitar, there's an opportunity then to retain those people by much more content within your website or your blog or your YouTube channel, whatever it answers the questions. You can, if you've got someone who wants to play guitar, as I mentioned, there's so many parts to that, and there's so many different levels that you can continue to provide value to those people. And we always talk about giving value. We always talk about building trust. You know, that's what you're doing. And of course, if that ends up, you know, in a paid service or a sale of a product or something like that, you know, you've built a level of trust there because you've freely put out a select amount of content that answers not just one question, but a whole range of questions. You know, you can give someone quality content in the form of an answer, and then you can continue to do that over and over again and take them on a journey throughout your website or like I say, across your YouTube channel. People love bingeable content.
Yeah.
If somebody likes what you provide, they'll happily move on to the next episode. They'll move on to the next video, and they'll continue to watch those pieces of content.
Yeah, I think it's you've said it several times there. You've mentioned video and YouTube. You know, even though we were specifically talking about SEO, but in terms of people asking the internet, I mean, the second largest search engine in the internet is YouTube. People go there for not entertainment, yes, but answers to their questions also. And I'm a huge believer, and you already mentioned it, that if you've spent time, money, effort building a business, marketing your business, and you've got somebody to your website, you to your front door of your shop, if you like, to not then give them everything they could be asking for and give them the opportunity to binge all that you're about. If you've got, you know, if I'm looking for, I don't know, use an example here, like a new camera. If I find an entertaining website with the right content made in the right way, I will just lose myself in that site for hours sometimes. And I'll be rewarded by Google for being on their site, consuming their content. So give the customer or whoever they may be the opportunity to binge your content. And then they'll only binge it if it's good and it's entertaining and it's giving them the value they're looking for. And the entertainment part, I think, is quite important. You can give very clear information. If you're not presenting it to people in a way that they enjoy digesting and downloading, you'll lose them. They'll go and find the same content or the same answers elsewhere where they are entertained. I think it's often overlooked by lots of businesses, whether they are B2B, B2C. We're all consumers at the end of the day. I do think B2B companies think we must be serious. We're selling accountancy advice or we're a lawyer firm. You can give all the best legal advice in the world. If it's not in a format that I enjoy consuming, I won't consume any more of it. I'll go and find my advice elsewhere.
Yeah. And it's in B2B that the mistake of focusing on the service and on the provider is very, very frequent. Not that focus on the actual, not just actually, I was going to say not just focused on the customer, but actually the emotional impact to the customer. You know, and not okay. We're going to make sure that we focus on solving their problem. But actually, how does that customer then feel when that problem is solved? The peace of mind, the feeling of being understood by a service provider, that is, again, something that is massively overlooked. Quality content will focus on those answers, the answers, the philosophical questions that people are asking, not just the actual problem solutions that people are looking for. But you mentioned about YouTube, binging quality content and being used as a search engine. Of course, another one of those platforms is TikTok now.
Yeah, true.
You know, people look for recipes.
Oh, it drives my wife Jenny mad because she hates using that. I find recipes, but she hates cooking from those recipes. And again, this is about being multi-platformed is so important because I will find the recipe on TikTok if they've got a corresponding blog on their website, which clearly lists that recipe to me. And trying to cook based on a 20-second TikTok is hard. You're watching it again and again, you're going mad. But if you've had the foresight to put the video there, which is entertaining, but on your website, maybe you've got your long form version of that video. But equally, there's actually just a really nice list of ingredients and processes. I think people think it's just one thing. It's making sure you've got that content in the right format for the right customer, the right stage of their journey. When you're doing your research, TikTok's brilliant for recipes. When it comes to cooking from it, or horrible. And that's why I think someone who does that brilliantly is probably Joe Wicks as an example. I was looking, guilty of the new year, trying to be a better version of me. And I found loads of his recipes online, tons of them. But actually what I really valued was the fact that he actually had on his website to compliment. He had the video there I could have watched, but what I really wanted was that clear understanding of what I needed, how many minutes to leave it in for. You haven't got the time on TikTok to say, soak for 30 seconds. There's just not time. It has to be fun. It has to be engaging. It has to be, oh, I want to eat that. But then you've got to go through the effort to give people the advice in the right format in the right place. And Joe Wicks does that brilliantly.
I also think that HelloFresh do it well in terms of, with HelloFresh, obviously you subscribe and you get the ingredients delivered and you get the recipes printed on pieces of card. And, whether we're actively subscribing to HelloFresh or not, we've kept the cards with the favorite recipes that we've cooked. But ultimately, if we want to cook that meal and we're not actually, HelloFresh subscribers at the time, rather than finding that card out, I end up searching for it. And HelloFresh have happily put it on their website. They put all those recipes on their website. Now, I bet there was a kind of a knee-jerk reaction when that was first talked about that was, we don't want to share the recipes. That's for paying customers.
I can imagine that in some boardrooms that have gone, are you nuts?
You're just going to give away the recipes that.
What would they need us for?
But of course, you know, they unpicked that and said, no. The paid service is the delivery of the ingredients in the right sizes and the right quantities and the printed version of the recipe. And actually, I bet they balanced off, okay, revealing the recipes to anyone and everyone versus the frustration of someone trying to find the card with the recipe on around their house that they put somewhere. And they lean towards, no, we're going to give that content away.
And I think it's really understanding good customer, which is because the HelloFresh customer owns cookbooks. They have access to recipes. What problem does HelloFresh solve? It's, you know, it's variety, I suppose, in some instances, but it's actually the not having time to shop, not knowing where to find certain spices and herbs. That is the problem HelloFresh solved. It was never about people not knowing what to cook for themselves. It was the convenience. Yeah. It was the ease of not having to go shopping. And they identified that and made sure their content solved the problems their customers were looking for.
Yeah.
It's content 101. They've done a great job of it. Okay, back to the game. Okay, we've got...
You took a peek then, I saw that.
I didn't see the answer, I promise. I was just trying to show the audience what I was looking at. I thought that'd be interesting. Okay, Braille and contact lenses. Let the audience know the answer before we do.
What came first? Braille or contact lenses?
Surely it's Braille. But again, this game is... If I think it's Braille, I'm going to say contact lenses.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with the Braille then.
Okay. Braille. No, damn it. Oh, here we go. A little fact for everyone. Okay, so Louis Braille, I guess he's French. Sorry for the accent. A Frenchman who lost his sight as a result of a childhood accident invented this way of reading by feeling bumps on paper in 1824. The first contact lenses were worn in 1888. Now, that still blows my mind.
Yeah.
That people, what could you imagine when you see old medical equipment? Generally, it's a quite hefty, rugged stuff. What were they putting in their eyes in 1888? Jeepers.
Yeah.
Thankfully, as a non-glasses wearer, I didn't have to worry. But wow. Okay. Oh, here you go. You have my last one for you, Cyclone.
Right. What came first, Justin Bieber or Beanie Babies?
And this is Justin Bieber's birth, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I instinctively think Justin Bieber. How old must he be? He must be in his... I've got late 20s, is he now? He's been around forever. Maybe he's not. Like then again, he's been around for so long. He's probably younger than we think. I'm going to go Justin Bieber.
Yeah, same. Beanie Babies.
Damn it.
Young girls love them both, but Beanie Babies came out first in 1993. Justin arrived a year later in 1994. Oh, that's not fair.
That's close. That's not fair.
That's too tight to call. Yeah, we were always going to fail there. Is it more luck than judgment if you got that right?
Okay, so we've covered lots of great points there. And I think one thing it's really worth thinking about for your own business, or whether if you're a marketing person within a business, is that we truly believe this is a way that you can differentiate, say, from competitors and win. Because if you've got deep, you'll have competitors with deeper pockets than yours who could outbid you, outpromote you. But if they get to their site and then leave and then do a second sort of level of search, they're likely to find you if you've done your content properly, and you will win by doing these things. Being the people that spend the most in advertising might get people to your site, but if you've not done your content right, you won't win. And we've given you some great advice today of how to win.
We say time and time again that ads and sponsored activity is great for awareness, for traffic. When you get that initial interest, you then need to engage. And certainly on a level of people searching for answers, you'll win by engaging people by answering the question that they've searched for. So every decent business will focus on their customer and want to do right by their customer. Again, so many businesses think like that, but then are focused on themselves being the hero and telling their story and telling their and selling their benefits and talking about their features. Again, take that customer focus and push it further to make everything around the customer, make the customer the hero and you are the guide. You are the person that helps and supports and answers the questions that they're asking for. And for all of the marketers out there who are flooded under a massive weight of dealing with, you know, websites, copy, social, everything, the frequency of keywords in your content is actually one less thing to worry about as long as you're producing good content. And let's face it, that's more fun than having to go through and make sure you're putting keywords in the right places and things like that. You can actually focus on just making good stuff and just answering questions in a great way.
And, you know, I didn't want to sound like I'm dismissive. Advertising is really important. Paying to get people to your site is really important. But guess what will improve if the content on your site is better? Your ad performance will improve. Your conversion rates of your website will improve. Your return on ad spend will improve if when people are arriving to your site, the content is there that helps them on their journey. Again, they're the hero that helps them go through the journey of what they wanted. They complete the purchase. It's all part of a, you know, marketing isn't one thing. It's lots of things, but it's about putting the right content in the right place at the right time, and having the right content strategy will massively benefit that.
So a couple of final points. We've talked about AI. We've talked about how search engines will use AI to read, digest, and understand the content on your website and in your videos and in your blogs and things like that. There is no room for you to produce lazy AI. So again, you can ask a question of ChatGPT and you'll get an answer. And it will be a balanced answer based on the information that it knows. But the best answers it will give will be from the best sources. And the sources, in terms of answering the questions, are written by humans. That original source material that AI is scrubbing or perusing to find the answer to someone's question is written by humans. So ultimately, you still have the power to create that great content to answer those great questions. Don't fall into the trap of going into AI tools and, you know, seeing what are my customers asking and how can I answer it and give me an answer to a question that a customer asks and plonking that on your website. In fact, Google now are putting in place technologies to check websites for AI content. So it's using AI to seek out AI and dismiss it, which is kind of freaky. And just a note on website performance, that still matters. Load times of content on your pages, hidden objects or old apps or plugins that no longer function or slow the website down, they're no good. Always still be focused on your website performance. Layout, visual layout, Google checks that as well, actually. Are things readable? Are things right for the various platforms, i.e. phones, iPads, laptops, whatever? All that still matters. And that's kind of SEO, and that's the technical side of it. But ultimately, it's just, again, it's just something that you should be doing anyway. If you want to serve your customers, then you want an easily digestible website, a website that loads fast, a website that works on all platforms. So never dismiss that. There's no point having great content and great answers if it's then presented in a poor way. So still focus on making sure that your website performs well.
And a little fact, if you like. So, you know, we refer to Google constantly because Google are the heroes, if you like. They are the search engine. You know, we Google things. We don't.
Or the ultimate guides.
The ultimate guides, exactly. And one of the reasons you see Google put such emphasis on load speeds is that's how Google won. Back when there was the likes of AltaVista, Ask Jeeves, all these other platforms, the other platforms were confused about what the customer wanted. So they would give them the news headlines, the weather, all these things surrounding that search bar. Google realized that they would win by having the word Google and a search bar. They won in terms of those speeds, and they've applied that to the Google model ever since. So, but they were listening to their customer.
Yeah.
They knew what people wanted was the advice as quickly as possible. And they gave them the content in this instance as little as possible because that was their model. So it's really worth, yeah. It worked for Google, it'll work for you.
So what did you think of what came first, Rob?
This is one of yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is your game. Really good. I think We play lots of games as a family. I think some of the references would be, and my kids are a bit younger, so they'd struggle, but no, really fun. But I find games that double bluff you really annoying. I think I'd always be trying to outthink the game. Just play the game.
Yeah.
Don't try and beat the game. So yeah, if you're interested, what came first? Yeah, recommend it, really fun.
The only thing I would say is once you've powered through all those cards,
it's the probably game's done.
Yeah, you're probably not playable again. However, there are a lot of cards in there. There's a stack there and there's another stack in there.
Good value. So thank you for listening to the Contented Business Podcast. I hope you got some great value from that today.
And if you want to hear us talk about any specific topics in the future, make sure you leave a comment below and obviously subscribe to keep up to date with future episodes. And you can also find all existing episodes on our website and on most major podcast platforms.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.